Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Hidden Branch Podcast. My name's Daniel.
And I'm Athena.
And we're going to be talking about genealogy clubs. Subscribe, share, and enjoy. Now, if you're a budding young genealogist out there and you wanted to kind of introduce genealogy along with your classmates, you might be thinking, well, is there an easy answer to how I go about doing that? And then there's genealogy clubs. So to help with genealogy clubs, I had the founder of NestM Genealogy Club and Hidden Branch co-worker of mine, if you will, Athena, who's going to talk about her club. So hello, Athena.
Hello.
So let's get into it. So, like, how did you go, like, starting your club? Because, I mean, obviously I know it's going to be, like, you know, different for every other school. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't have much luck with my own here in Ireland due to current restrictions in Ireland. So how did you go about doing yours?
I definitely went, it was hard, definitely. I honestly did not know what I was doing. I literally went around to every single other high schooler and I was like, that had a club. And I was like, how did you start your club? Please explain. I'm so confused. So I knew the club coordinator already. So there's like usually one person that runs all the clubs that knows, like, you know, one head teacher that sort of like oversees all the clubs. And then there's obviously the higher administrators. So there's like the principal and then the assistant principals for each grade and whatnot. But I had, I knew the teacher who was the club coordinator for all the clubs. So I went to her and I was like, hey, I want to start a genealogy club. Do you know like the form? Do you like, you know, what do I do? And then, so she gave me a form and she's like, okay, here's what you have to fill out. Yeah, there's an application form. They'll usually send like an email to you, or you'll sort of hear it around or see it on a bulletin board. Like they'll have like club applications are starting now, send them in. And I would say for it, like, do it quickly, like do it first so that, you know, you secure your spot to get funding, secure your spot to get everything. Cause we all know schools funding is limited. So definitely do it quickly. That's what I did. So as soon as the application, they said they were accepting applications, I actually had it already pre-filled out. So once I did that, I immediately sent it in as soon as they said, you know, we're accepting. And then I got a notification that I had a club. And then ever since then, that's when I started planning week by week, our lessons and stuff like that. So, and then also if you want to do an event with your club, I know that my school had some, like, you know, like you can do an event like within your meetings, like that's fine. But if you're going to host like an event, like a fundraiser or a bake sale, I would say that definitely talk to your school about that because their policy might be a little bit different. My school on like, you know, for us, we had a form that you had to fill out. You had to talk about your funding. It was like, basically it looked like a grant application, but you weren't actually applying for a grant. You were just telling them what you were doing and with what money and where you're getting the money from and stuff like that. And, you know, but because we went virtual, I had a chance to host the webinar outside of my school. So that's what I did, but it was still like, you know, my club was still attached to my school. So it was like under that name, but they didn't have to do any, that was the good thing about doing it virtually is that there was no, I didn't really have to worry about anything that had to do with money besides like the Zoom thing. And then, if you do need money, I would say apply for a grant, whether it's from your school or I'm not sure if your school would give you grants. I think just apply for it like outside of your school. It also looks really good on like that you apply for a grant. And like if you get it for your club, that's amazing. I, on the other hand, did not hear back from my grant application. So but it's also because COVID was going on at the same time. So, but just apply for a grant. I think if you do need funding, that's one of the best ways. Also hold a bake sale outside of your school, obviously, unless you need like permission or something, definitely do that. But there are many ways of like gaining funding. But I think like starting a club, it's a little bit hard and it's definitely an adjustment. But again, I say go for it and talk to your school about it. I think they would be able to help you a lot. So
what made you want to start your club?
So like you said, I started my club because like some people out there, like I wanted to share my hobby and my passion with others in my class. Because honestly, at first I was worried because people wouldn't like understand it and whatever, but then I thought, okay, why don't I make them understand it? So in 2019, when I had started ninth grade in New York, I'm by the way, based in New York. When I started high school in ninth grade, they put out the form that you can have a credit. You know what? I'm just going to go for it. Cause it was something I was thinking about before, to start, because again, I wanted to share it with my peers. And so basically I had started my genealogy interest when I was when I attended a camp back in 2017. It's called Finding Your Roots, the Seedlings. You can always check it out. I don't know if Daniel would be putting links in the little description box, but you can go check it out. Yeah. It's a little mini docuseries, logging the camp day by day, what we did, and we learned about genealogy and DNA and sort of how everything plays together. And then that piqued my interest in genealogy. And then ever since then, I remember when we went to the premiere, I believe it was in early 2019, right before ninth grade, I had asked, how do I start a club? And then they said, you can use our curriculum, which is free, by the way, if you would like to use that curriculum also. So I decided to start the club, and then Genealogy Club was born. So yeah.
Lovely. And how's that been going? Like, how successful has it been to now? I know it might kind of be a bit difficult to kind of measure success, because I know everyone and anyone has their own kind of milestone or their own way of success, kind of measuring it.
Yeah.
Like, how, what would you think?
So I think definitely, like, for me, it was definitely measuring, like, what happened virtually and then what happened in person. Like, it was, so we transferred, so I didn't even have a full year of high school before we had to go virtual. So in the halfway through ninth grade, they were like, okay, go virtual, because, you know, COVID and everything. So and nobody really knew what was going on. We didn't have any notification that we had club. Like, no one knew what to do because it was so sudden. So for when I held club in person, we had a meeting. We did stuff like test and stuff like that. Based my success on how people enjoyed it, I could tell just based on the enjoyment on their faces and how they acted during club. So like, for example, we did this test called the PTC test strip, and basically you'd put a little strip in your mouth and you'd have one of three reactions. You'd either be a super taster, a taster, or a non-taster. Thankfully, I was a non-taster both times. I tried it once in the camp and then once in my club, and thankfully I was a non-taster. Some of my friends, on the other hand, were not so thrilled as they could be, because it does not taste good at all. Don't worry, we had mints, so everyone was happy. So it was just cool for them to find out, like, oh, you're a non-taster, you're lucky to be a super taster, or you're lucky to be a non-taster, and you're not very lucky to be a super taster. And then we did, like, one of our first activities was a diversity map, where we had people map their how their ancestors traveled from place to place over the years. And then we also did, of course, the notorious see your own DNA. But again, all of these activities we couldn't do virtually. I mean, just besides the diversity map one, you can't really, you know, be interested in that virtually. So I had to adapt and quickly. So we did a movie marathon of C.C. Moore's The Genetic Detective, which a lot of people loved, and they actually wanted more episodes. But sadly, we don't know if she's continuing or not. Most likely not. And then we did a small little escape room, which was also really fun. It was based on genealogy, and then a little debate on whether or not genealogy should be used in courtrooms or not. So as evidence, so sort of like what C.C. Moore does with genetic genealogy and stuff like that. So based on how people reacted to both virtual and in-person activities, that's how I gauged how, how successful we were.
And I think it's safe to say, C.C., if you're listening, I think you have people wanting you to do another series. Seems to be,
yes, please. Got,
well, she's heard us now, so I mean, she could go down that road. You never know.
I know, so. She said multiple times, by the way, that she may be doing a podcast. So stay on the lookout for that. Maybe there's a maybe she might do it, but hopefully.
Well, I think I know if you'll be listening to that or not. anyway, so like, you kind of went into kind of your activities kind of that you've done at your club, and how, and like, what has been like the general kind of consensus? Like, have people enjoyed being a part of it, or like, yes, do they like it? Like, do they have like a favorite part of it?
So the thing is with my, I know all schools sort of run school clubs differently. And so one of the major things of genealogy is obviously doing your own research. So the problem is, in order to do our own research, we most likely would have to have an ancestry subscription. And at the time that I started my club, I was such a new person obviously I just joined high school, but I was a ninth grader, and usually ninth graders at my school don't really start clubs. You usually join an existing club and then probably started in 10th grade year, but I knew I wanted to start it soon soon. So when I did, we weren't exactly an official club. So I obviously, they weren't giving us funding. So, which is kind of annoying, but they weren't giving us funding. So we kind of, everything that we did it out of our own, like, we provided the materials and stuff like that, snacks and whatnot. But so in order to do like the Ancestry subscription thing, that's a lot of money. And obviously, you know, we're just high school students, so we didn't exactly have that chance. But so if you do have funding from your school, I highly suggest maybe going that route as well, like taking that route, having guiding your peers through doing their own research. And I think it's like super helpful. And that way they'll be really interested in it. I unfortunately couldn't do it, but I know that they, I mean, one quote that I always reference when I'm talking about genealogy is from Dr. Henry Luce Gates himself. He said, that what's a kid's favorite subject, a kid's favorite subject is themselves. So I mean, I think that quote is actually very accurate, even though we might not like to admit it. But I think they were, but if since I focus more a little bit more on like the genetics / DNA path, I mean, they were really excited to see that, and they were excited to talk about what they already know too, because in our science classes we obviously did the see your own DNA thing. We did the strawberry DNA thing. So they were really excited. And so using that, using the fact that they knew already what, how to see your own DNA and stuff, we decided to add more methods. So there are many ways of seeing your own DNA. So we decided to add more methods so that we can just show them there's not only one way. You can, like, you know, do it many ways. And then we had a lot of debates and discussions that, you know, people were really active in. And I think they all loved it. Pursuing genealogy though, outside of the club, there has to be, since again, we didn't really have, it was very like a, it was a hard year to gauge, you know, success. There's going to, next year I would be more able to be like, okay, yeah, they would be definitely going out and doing their own research. As of now, I'm not quite sure, but I know some kids are interested in it and interested in the genetics and DNA path, especially the forensics and true crime path that, you know, CC Moore takes on. I think a lot of people are interested in that as well. So, and I know they were a lot of interested in like, you know, shows like Dateline 2020, where, you know, you're going into, DNA and forensics and using that. I think forensics is a huge topic and a lot of people love it, including me. So yeah, that was a lot. Sorry. Yeah. I go on a ramble when I love genealogy. I'm sorry. Genealogy is just
no,
amazing.
It's a genealogy podcast. There's no need to apologize. So now with your club, you kind of, I will admit, I'm not sure if every club has one, but you have like your own like mission statement sort of thing, your idea.
Yes, yes, we do. I just remembered actually about this and I honestly forgot about it, but it is our motto. Our motto is IDEA. It is an acronym that stands for Identity, Diversity, Exploration, and All-Inclusive. Basically, so we held a webinar back in December 2020, and we had two speakers. We had Dr. Brandon Obunu, who is a Yale professor of ecology and evolutionary biology, and then we had CC Moore, which I've mentioned a couple times already, who's the world-renowned genetics detective that's, I'm pretty sure, surpassed 200 cases by now, which is amazing, so congrats to her. So we had those two speakers, and our name for the webinar was Our Idea, Gender and Genealogy. And so that sort of hit like the identity portion of our motto. And we're hoping, since I have three more years in high school, we're hoping to do another webinar maybe soon, maybe this fall, we'll see. But definitely stay tuned for something like that, because we're basing our webinars after our motto, just so that it's like consistent. And hopefully even after we hit all 4 points, maybe we can do more, we'll see, or even do something in person. So
yes, I think we're all longing to go back to in-person events now. It's just, it just seems so long ago, and we're
I don't think I'm gonna ever, I don't think I'm gonna function when I'm back at school. I'm just gonna be like, wait, where's my computer?
Yeah, I think we'll all be about out of sorts whenever this goes back to normal, but until then we gotta make make do with what we can, if I can talk. I guess one thing that I probably should have asked at the start was, why should others start a club?
Well, you know, if you want to give your peers something of like a taste, sort of like of the happiness that you have with your passion, and if it's not a well-known topic, I definitely say go for it, because genealogy, for example, is not a well-known topic. I mean, people talk about it, but they don't know that there's a name for it, and it's genealogy. So, and it's also, in oddly, there in some cultures, it is very taboo. Like when you sort of talk about genealogy or bring up past issues, people are like, okay, no, no, hush, hush. That's we're shoving that under the rug. That doesn't exist. And that's something I sort of wanted to talk about in my club and bring that up, that you don't have to shove things like that under the rug. They have to be talked, in my opinion, they have to be talked about. If you're really, really not comfortable with that being talked about, then, you know, then you can sort of like address it another time, or maybe talk about it some, or not talk about it at all. But in my opinion, it shouldn't be shunned, or it shouldn't be not talked about, because it's not something to be ashamed of if anything did happen in the past, because you're you now presently, and whatever happened in your past doesn't define you, what you do now does. So they're just like things that, like, you know, I think people just should really think about, like, if they didn't have this topic with them, or they didn't have this love or passion for something, like what they would be doing instead, or what they would love, and how that defines them, and sharing that with somebody else, saying, showing them that this is me, and this is something I love, and this is something that's part of my identity as well. So I mean, yeah, that's basically, and just also like take advantage of the opportunities your school offers. Like if they offer you a chance to create a club, again, go for it. I mean, like what's the worst that can happen? I started a club. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I'm not gonna lie. I had a curriculum and that's it. I didn't know how to, I was not also a public speaker like that much. I could talk, but like, as you can see right now, I'm rambling because I'm nervous. So, like I was not a very good public speaker. I was worse than I am right now. But but doing this club also like gave me a ton of skills too, like organizing things and working together in a team, like things I didn't have a chance to explore on my own before. And running a club did give me some sort of like, accept that you're a leader. You don't have to be a leader and be bossy. Like that's not what a leader is. A leader is, you know, somebody taking charge and making sure everything is going right, not somebody that, you don't have to define yourself as being bossy, you know, like you don't have to be an annoying leader. Be a leader that includes everybody, be a leader that takes in everyone's ideas and stuff like that. So it teaches you a lot of things too. So I think like doing a club is just like a great way to just encompass everything and just makes you a different person, I think.
Yeah, and I mean everyone has their own kind of story when it comes to, you know, their own stories about the past, whether it's truth or fiction, which they've yet to determine in some cases, can bring up
like for example me with my story, truth or fiction. I mean, so a little bit of backstory and like what I'm talking about. So back in August of 2020, my family started this investigation. So it first started off as my mom believing, so she blurted out like just one night, we're all sitting down and we're talking, and she was like, you know, I think Nanny, so Nanny is my mom, my grandma on my mom's side, that Nanny's mom isn't her biological mom. And so I was like, that's odd. I mean, it'd be hard to prove, but we can look into that. And so my grandma didn't really pay attention. She was just like, you know, I don't know, doing something else, but she wasn't really paying attention, but it was there, like she heard it. So she's also like, as I'm starting to investigate this with my mom and we're getting like, you know, getting results and whatnot, we had her take a DNA test back when I had done the camp, because my entire family, we decided to take one. So we did, and we had her results. So we were just looking through her results in 23andMe, and we see this name. It seems like a familiar name. So I believe my mom then calls my grandma and she's like, hey, do you know these people? And she's like, yeah, I think they're related to this guy. And so this guy, now we've heard his name before, like, you know, here and there, nothing, you know, like another guy in the village, like normally. So my family is from Guyana. So, you know, they heard his name once or twice. And then one night my aunt comes over and then she's like, you know what? At a wedding, I heard that this guy was her biological father. And now we're all like, wait, pause for a second. We thought that her mom was not her biological mom. Now her father's not her biological father. So we're really confused now because we're worried that this lady doesn't know who her real parents are. So, and also, but we knew something was fishy. Either one of them wasn't or both of them weren't, because usually the process was you get married and then you have a child. That was like how it was back then, or else it was like shunned upon and stuff like that. But they got their marriage license after 4 years after she was born. And 4 years seems like a really long time. I mean, it was just odd. Like things don't really happen like that back then there. So then we decided to investigate a little bit more. So we start calling around to people and just being like, hey, do you understand what's going on here? Because she's related to this person who's related to this guy and doesn't make any sense because she's supposed to be related to these people. So then, so my grandma's also getting curious, because when my mom called her, she was confused because she was like, this is not right. But she also heard things growing up, like this guy could be her biological father. Because when one time she was in a taxi with that guy's daughter, and that his daughter and the taxi driver was like, oh, you're Miss, and then the last name of the other guy. And then she got apparently got really upset and like, I think like hit the guy or something like that. Just got really upset. And she was like a teenager at that point. So she was just really mad. And things just didn't add up. Like she didn't look like her siblings at all either. So then my mom is on her Facebook and she like a message pops up. So she's on my grandma's Facebook. And a little message board pops up between my grandma and his daughter. And she and my grandma were friends. That's like, you know, throughout like them growing up, they weren't like close, but they were friends. And so they talked from time to time. And she came out, they were talking and she just came out and asked her something like, hey, you know, is it true that is there a possibility that we could be sisters? And the lady replies and she's like, yeah, there is a possibility that we could be half sisters. And me and my mom are legit like just staring at the screen and we're like baffled. We don't know what to do. We're speechless. We didn't even know that my grandma, like, you know, could even just come out and say it. And so we're watching this in real time as my grandma's finding out, text message by message. And later on when I talked to my grandma, she was telling me her reaction to this because we never saw it because she was at her house. And apparently my grandpa came in, he was like, what's wrong? Because my grandma's bawling. And it's just, there's way too many emotions and people are so confused. Okay, so so after like everything sorts itself out, we eventually figure out that this guy is her biological father. And then we sent a kit over to his family. They took it and then it matched immediately. And then another mystery arose where her sister, we figured out that her sister was now had a different dad than her because it didn't match at all to her DNA, matched halfway to her DNA, I think. Yes. And which is, you know, also odd because again, that's not right. And it didn't match to the other lady, which means that they had a different dad. So there was a lot of like speculation and whatnot, but we eventually came to consensus and now they're like, you know, they're half sisters and they're dealing with it and they're really happy about it. So I'm glad we found out. But again, we don't really know how it happened. And that's just something we kind of have to live with. With genealogy, you kind of just kind of, yeah, you got to make assumptions. But now, again, live in the present. Once you're finished living in the past, live in the present.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
When you're done doing genealogy, go back to whatever people are doing. I don't know. But no, I mean, it's just probably one of the more kind of perplexing things about DNA. Because, I mean, obviously everyone's individuality is not going to be the same kind of thing. And I mean, it's just a case of, I mean, we just have to be our own little Sherlock Holmes and work out where everything goes in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So where can you see your club going in the future?
Okay, so, all right. So we went international with the webinar, thanks to the Hidden Branch, actually, and my friend in Australia. So you know, the Hidden Branch brought us to Ireland, to the UK, to so many different places, to Australia as well. And my friend in Australia, she also brought us back to Australia. Like her teacher woke up at 5 just to see the webinar, which was just so touching and just so nice. So we hope to reach more places around the country and hope to reach more places around the world as well. Again, with going back to sort of like Guyana, I hope to bring something there. Whether it's a program or another webinar, hopefully something. And we actually did get there. The webinar did also go there back when we did it in December. And I hope to spread genealogy to more kids. Like I said, hopefully a program again, maybe, or just, you know, pairing up with somebody else, you know, in the Hidden Branch. I know we're working on stuff. So stay tuned for that. I hope to have more webinars in the future with other speakers, other notable people in genealogy. And I'm definitely, you know, I definitely want more younger kids to join these webinars just so they know, like, again, this is what genealogy is. And if you're interested, you can totally like reach out to one of us and we'll help you to further your research. And you don't have to like be worried about not knowing where to start or where to go. Cause trust me, we're all open for contact. So just contact us through our like, you know, social medias or websites and we'll definitely help you out. So yeah.
Yeah. And how important do you think it is for like young people to kind of be so like engaged in kind of learning about their genealogy?
It's I think that it really is a personal thing. Like, I think if you're interested in looking into your history, or if you've ever felt like something doesn't fit right, when you're ready, I think go for it. Because I think sometimes it can bring up stuff that is unexpected. And that's one thing about genealogy that I sort of emphasize in my club, that, you know, be careful when you do it, because as much as it might seem like a, oh, wow, my ancestor ran a, I don't know, a brewery in, like, you know, 1823, like, yes, that might be something lighthearted, but then again, you might find out something that's, you know, a little less, a little unsettling. So just be careful when you go down that road, because some things may come up that you may not be so, you know, okay with, and, you know, that's okay, but again, be careful with it. And I think, but once you're ready, if you're ready for it and you can, you know, sort of be in terms with that fact, I think it's a really good thing to explore, because it sort of helps you with your identity. It helps you learn. It helps you. You're a lot more connected to your culture and a lot more connected to your family, I think. And like finding out what we found out about my grandma, I think it really, my dad became a lot more connected to her because he had a similar situation. So I think it was just like, it sort of like brought, you know, us a little bit more closer. And I think it's something that it can do for your family as well. So I think it is an interesting topic, and you don't even have to go the ancestry route. You can always go to like what CC Moore does and go the true crime route. Just, I mean, I know a lot of people already love true crime, but if you want to add genealogy to that, even better, you know? So there's a lot of paths within genealogy that you can like sort of take with it. So, yeah.
And if anyone has any questions that they ever want to ask Athena when you listen to this, you can go to www.thehiddenbranch.com/contact, and we will forward on your correspondence to Athena if you have any questions. So with that, I think we shall end. So thank you so much, Athena, for coming on and talking about the club. I'm sure many people will be coming now to ask you plenty of questions about clubs now that you got it out there and you're chatting about it. So I definitely think it'll be useful to some people. Absolutely. So with that.
And.
Go ahead.
Oh, really? Sorry, just really quickly, one thing I want to say is like, definitely contact Hidden Branch if you want to contact me. I also do have my social media links, and also Genealogy Club social media links. We also do have a website where our recording of our webinar is also on there. So if you want to check that out as well, definitely go check it out. And if you do have any questions for like CC or Dr. O, you know, message me with them, and I'll definitely like have a chance to forward it to them, and maybe you can have your question answered depending on like how busy they are, because they are really busy. But definitely check out Hidden Branch stuff too. They're amazing. I love working with them. They're an amazing bunch, and really fun to see them. Yeah, and we're producing some amazing stuff, so stay tuned for that. And thank you, Daniel, for hosting me.
So thank you, Athena, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.